Daniel, in verse 21, says this, "May the king live forever." And this is Daniel in the lion's den. It says, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before your majesty." We know this story really well, right, kids? Daniel in the lion's den. How the angel of the Lord shut the lion's mouths. Now, I don't know how much power it takes to shut a lion's mouth. A wild animal can be a really scary thing. And I'll tell you a little hunting story, if you'll let me. My brother Lynn was hunting on his farm up in New York. Speaking of wild animals, it wasn't a lion, but it was a bear. And he's hunting, and he sees a mama bear and two cubs come out on the field. And for some reason, the little bears spooked, and they actually came up the very tree he was in. And it was a cluster of trees. They were actually in a tree right over here. But the two cubs went up above him in that tree. And Lynn was sort of enjoying the nature thing of it. And he looks around, and this mama bear catches wind of him in the tree. And he said within 3 seconds, it covered the distance of 30 yards and 18 feet up the tree. And he finds himself at the bottom of his tree stand. This bear is snapping its jaws at him, trying to grab his boots, which he kicked it, and it backed down a little bit. His next attempt was throwing his cell phone at it. And think through if you're stranded and you're alone, what do you not want to throw at a bear? But never mind. It was that close. And till it was all said and done, at 1 yard, he went to pull his bow back, and he went like this, but he realized he didn't have his release on the string. He finally got a shot at it. Didn't hit it that great, but it went to the bottom of the tree, and it made a noise, and just like that, the cubs went down the tree, and they were off. I don't know what it takes. I don't know what kind of power it takes for God to shut a lion's mouth, but it's a lot. Because as my brother was there in the tree, he was feeling pretty helpless of what to do. He found himself very fearful. Can you imagine being Daniel in that lion's den, knowing that just in a second, those lions could shred him? Angels have incredible power. So those are 7 things that we know about angels. Could you just flip back one slide for me? There's a verse that I missed that when it talks about they're assigned for a specific purpose. What I have on my computer at home is different than this, but I'm going to turn to Genesis 24. Here's another specific instance when an angel had a specific task. I'm not finding the verse, but he's talking to Isaac, and Isaac went on this journey to find a wife, and I don't have it right, and I apologize for this, but he says that my angel will be with you on your journey, and you will find a wife. Now, I don't know if I can draw anything bigger than that or not. Do you think God's angels care enough about you the angel that's assigned to you, do they think they care enough about you finding somebody to spend your life with? I wish I could find that verse, but that, verse 7, what is it? Genesis 24? Genesis 24, 7. It says, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there." Now, again, I don't know if this is a thing or not, but it happened for Isaac. And maybe it happened for me too. I'm not sure. You see, I was on a bus one day, and we were on a corral tour, and you know, I had things like basketball and other hunting and other things, and I wasn't paying much attention to girls at that point. But we were on this trip, and God brought can I say it was God? Maybe it was his angel. This shoe came flying up into my seat from the back of the bus. Okay? And the shoe had a lot of knots in it, probably 20 knots. And I'm sitting there all by myself, and I start untying the knots in the shoe. And there's this young lady comes up, and she sits in my seat. And for the next hour, we had a really cool conversation. That's really the first I noticed Mars. Do you think that angel took that shoe and just dropped it right over my seat? You know, shoo, boom. I don't know. That's my story of an angel finding a wife for me. But I know God and his angels are really concerned about your welfare and who you are. Because they're really in a battle for your soul. So here's my conclusion. I mentioned in the beginning that there is this wrestling match, and it's not about people, but it's about this cosmic battle that's being waged by Satan and his fallen third for your soul. The battle's so tight, it's so hard, it's so intense, that it binds people to the point where they lose their sight of who God is. Those demons and Satan use chains and bondage to entangle people's minds and their bodies and hold them captive with what seems like freedom. It's weird. I want to close with a scripture reading from Revelation 7. I admit I'm not an expert on Revelation and the timing of all the events that are going to happen in that day. But I do know that God uses his angels to break chains. To break the chains that bind us, that hold us captive, that hold us hostage. Revelation chapter 7 says this. As the angels are looking on, there's this great multitude worshiping with the angels. It says this, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell down on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" You might recognize the song. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, or out of bondage. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And just for good measure, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The angels are in the business of chain breaking. I don't know what's holding you fast this morning. I don't want you to pray to an angel. I want you to pray to God. And just know that the host that we have that's in the business of chain breaking is much bigger than the host that makes those chains. So that's all I have to share this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but I want to encourage you with these words. That God has angels looking out for you. They care deeply about who you are and want to rejoice with you as you break your chains. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for who you are. I thank you for giving us the ability even to win some of these battles. So Lord, I just pray that you would help us to examine our life and where we're bound by Satan. It can be so subtle. It can be so intense. It can be real. It can be things that we're facing with that are just seem impossible. So Lord, I pray for your power that would be released to your angels, that you could break the chains that bind us. Pray this in your name. Amen.